Welcome to episode 17 of Well To Do with my podcast, Andy Lou. I'm here with Dr. Erin, who's a doctor of divinity, and I'm so glad that you're finally here with us, and also really grateful for basically our sponsor, LifeTune, who make EMF modulation technology. You can put it on the back of your phone. This is the device that goes on the back of any device. It's a sticker. And you can also look up their website, Aries Tech, if you want to find out a little bit more about the research on how it works. But we are surrounded with electromagnetic frequency all the time, so it's good to bring it back and modulate on a cellular level.
Yes, definitely.
And being a doctor of divinity, wow, what a title. I mean, it sounds so gorgeous, you know, because the word divinity comes from the divine. So explain to me what a doctor of divinity is.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you look up doctor divinity, it has a lot of religious kind of tones to it.
Does it?
And but for me, and what I'm trained in is metaphysics and understanding what I call divine. So divinity stems from divine, and divine is like the vine that connects us all. So it's really just about our oneness.
Wow.
And how my mind is connected to my subconscious mind, and my subconscious mind is connected to your subconscious mind and one with the superconscious mind of all creation of all time. So it's a beautiful, simple, yet very profound thing. Yeah. So it means I know everything. That's what it means.
Wow. But see, we don't know everything, do we? The more we learn, the more we realize we don't know. And that's that beauty of constantly questioning and I guess our existential bummer really is that we in that constant search for meaning, right? Which is the beauty of it. So it's annoying and beautiful at the same time.
Well, that may be our biggest problem is that we're putting meaning to it.
Right.
So if we take away the meaning and we just be with the wisdom, the knowledge, then we may know everything because everything's at all of our subconscious level of all of our experience of life.
Wow.
It's the meaning, the search for a meaning where we're looking for a meaning that actually messes us up. The meaning is up to each individual. The meaning that you place on it makes the experience of it, but it is not what's the truth. The truth is it is what it is, and we're actually connected. If we felt into all of it, we all have psychic abilities. We all have intuition. We all are connected to the whole cosmos, so we do know everything.
Got it. So we just know is the same thing as we know everything. We just know, and that's trusting that intuition.
Yeah.
Wow. And when we tap into that divine or that just knowing, the answers are already there is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I think that that's the whole point. Anyone's, you know, tuning in, I'm sure they're looking for to find their right life, to find things that are making them be able to not have so many energetics going through their bodies so they're not having overwhelm or whatever it may be. And I think that we all need to get back to the basics. I mean, we love AI, we love all the technology that helps us do all this, but at the same time, we have the most advanced computer system in the entire universe.
Us.
We are the most advanced AI
binary,
you know,
creators
of the universe. We forgot that we already have all the AI that we need.
Wow, we forgot. Yeah, I mean, tell me about a time where you've perhaps studied history in, you know, your degree, and you've looked at where we are in our ultimate creative process.
I love that question because I don't believe that there is a true history. All history books are from a perception that pretty much you can break them all apart and say they're all incorrect.
Right.
So our real history is actually that there is no time space, that there's actually just rhythms and there's cycles. How deep do you want to go?
Yeah, really deep. Our audience on Well To Do love this.
Yeah. But it's really just cycles. So we're coming upon a cycle right now, you know, that is really a cycle where we get to the kind of these clusters, as we'd say, and then we kind of shoot out to the next evolution of consciousness. So all time space is just to have us understand how we're creating. We are creators and we create from the pure part of ourselves. And we're just advancing in the complexity of what we are creating. So it's all just evolution. So what's the point? The point is we all want to feel fully alive. We want to feel like we're creating what we want to create. We feel like we don't want the blocks and all that stuff. And we're here to learn how to harness energy. That's all we're here to do.
Right, because everything's energy. So, I mean, one of my favorite sayings is always, time is a lie. and love is all that's real. And you often express love in a very different way than others would explain love. So tell me what the divine and love really mean.
Well, I think we have to look at love, that love should always, first of all, love just is. There's no like contingencies on love. And I think that most people in our culture have come to this kind of dynamic thinking that their partner's going to fulfill them, their career's going to fulfill them, all these things. And that's the lie.
Right.
That nothing of the external world can ever be our source. That's called codependency. That's called, you know, it's a endless battle.
Mm-hmm.
That the true, you know, love is within. It sounds as cliche as it is, you know,
yeah.
That there, I mean, I don't know about you, but this biatch is never going to be happy. Like if I have it, like how much money do I need? How much love do I need? It's never going to totally fulfill me ever. And the only way is to really come of service to giving the love, to giving the value, to giving that. And then in that, you know, we have it reflected back.
Yeah.
But it is really, I mean, the whole romantic thing in our culture, in my personal opinion, is really, I think it's really distorted and demented and
it is.
And quite sick.
You know what it really is? The Western world's interpretation of what love should be,
yeah.
I feel, has demented us in many different ways. Mm. I mean, from the divine love that a mother has when she's breastfeeding her child and understanding that it just is, and, you know, to the books that perhaps tell her how to and when and all of that, instead of trusting that in intuition and being in the now. That's when it really started making sense for me.
Yeah.
How, as you say, demented it might be and how incorrect it's all been taught. To, you know, just being at peace with oneself through the divine love. You were saying giving love and being of service to love, but you often talk about just we don't even need to give or we just are love. We, you know what I mean? We're just by being, we are love. But maybe it's a reminder. Maybe we have to remember. So this is why I was kind of like asking, where was there a time where we were ultimate creators perhaps, and we were ultimately just being, and then we got caught up with all the distraction?
Well, that's a big, I mean, if you really, I mean, do you want to go real deep?
Yes.
The truth is it all stems from our language. So
really?
The true language is we're actually completely out of pattern even by our evaluation mind. So if you're in sync with the universe, you'd be in sync with mantra. You would only be in pure tones that align to the universe.
Mm.
So just, I mean, it's just a fun game we're playing, which is the inversion. You know, it's like if there's this all-knowing, you know, essence of who we are, we're here having an inverted experience.
Okay.
And part of that is suffering, and part of that is the beauty of it. We live in a relative universe. But people are delusional to think they're going to find this perfect relationship, perfect career, perfect whatever, when our complete construct of how we live in our language and everything is out of tune. Our language is incorrect, and we go insane by just our language alone.
Yes.
So you have to fully accept and know we're in a human experience, and that's what it is. And you can't, we have to accept that there's going to always be suffering.
Mm.
And if the moment you accept that there's suffering and there's non-clinging and all those things, then you might even have a chance of actually, you know, enjoying your day at some level.
But so the language, I hear you speak, you know, on your social media and in your spiritual practice about the gift that you're giving us with your language. And it comes out like it's almost like light language, where it's just being, you know, that people call it light language, but it just rolls out of your tongue like, you know, we are the divine and you are the divine and we're creator and we're here to create. And you're saying it so fast because you don't have to think too much about it, because A, you probably practice it every day, your spiritual practice, but also I feel like it's your being the love that we're supposed to be, and so it just comes out naturally. Is that right? Like, do you even notice that about
you? We say that doctors of divinity heal by revealing truth. So the truth is that, obviously, if you're in total truth, you'd be in mantra. Versus our English language, we speak the truth, and it does help and heal a lot. Like, if you know the truth that, say, for example, a child has some kind of disorder, but the perfection of that disorder, there's nothing wrong. It's only the human mind that makes it wrong.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep.
So there's healing through the revealing of truth. However, you know, the thing is that it's never going to be pure truth, because even our language is out of sync.
You do speak like you're in mantra. That's what it is. Mm. I was trying to put my finger on it. It's incredibly poetic, if you like. That's, yeah, and it kind of brings you in, and it's beautiful. Mm. It must be that vibrational frequency that's just healing for us, right? As you say, that's what you do.
Well, it's tough, okay? Anybody that's watching, let's face the fact. We have good days, we have crappy days, we have whatever. And the truth is we all want to be fulfilled. We all have the desire for connection. We all have the desire for expression. Mm. We all have the desire for, you know, love and all these things. Prosperity is our birthright. There is only abundance in the universe. There's infinite ways we can put, you know, elements together. There's infinite ways of serving and making money. Mm-hmm. But so now we're like, well, what's holding me back? Why do I have a crappy day? And it comes down to the subconscious mind. And it comes down to the energetics of the soul, which is tagging the DNA. So our true work is not just, you know, it's speaking the truth can help, but the true work is to go in and
heal the generational trauma.
Heal the generational trauma.
Yeah. So then there are two ways that you do it in your business, if you like, and that is through manifestation work and E4 trauma method.
Yeah. So we use E4 method. It's a process I developed over many, many years of doing work. And it's a regression. So we go back in the same mind. What happens is people go, well, I don't have trauma. I wasn't in a war or whatever. We all have trauma. If you're human, you have trauma. And what happens is...
Even going through the birth canal is traumatic.
Life is traumatic. So what happens is something happens or doesn't happen. Say your mom doesn't show up for Christmas. That could be traumatic.
Okay.
Or, you know, you get in an argument with your partner, whatever it is. And what happens is we assign it a meaning, a negative meaning. And in the negative assigning, we're so powerful spiritual beings that we get a negative energetic and vibration and frequency. And in that, our subconscious mind is hears through vibration and frequency. So here we are in this big vibration of frequency. And then we decide a limited belief or a divided perspective. I'm not enough. Something's wrong with me. I'll never love again. I can't trust, whatever it is. And the subconscious mind tags it because it's basically a negative charge backed by a lie. And that's why in the Bible it says, the truth shall set you free. Mm-hmm. Because the lie actually impinges upon the subconscious epigenetics and it actually strangulates the DNA.
Wow.
And we actually have more perspective of being divided.
Got goosebumps.
So the whole work is to go back into regression, neutralize it, scan over the mental pictures, releasing that charge, fully feeling the emotions as if, you know, without resistance. And then we free ourselves, literally, and we decide a new decision.
A new narrative.
A new narrative, for sure. Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of us, and this is a great question for everybody who's listening and watching, do you get in your own way? Are you blocking yourself from something? And if so, is that through the narrative that is a subconscious, perhaps, generational trauma that we're not realizing? And at some point, somewhere in that line, that family becomes, I think, a chosen one who has to kind of do the deep work to heal all those generations and change it for the future of those generations, right? I feel like we're in a time now where there are a lot of people that realize that they've been chosen. And they're all doing the deep work. I'm not sure if you're seeing that pattern.
Yeah, and we know it very well. Like the Dalai Lama said that he's the last Dalai Lama, that the women of the West will be the ones that bring consciousness out.
And, of the West.
Uh-huh, yeah. And basically we're going through the birthing pains right now, as we know, Kali Yuga. And basically we're going to see a crumbling of the old systems. It's very, and we love all masculine, feminine, but there's a very masculine, you know, leadership that just really is destroying the world. I mean, literally. And so it's the birthing of the evolution. So it's said that we're in the end of times and the second coming of Christ, which means the Christ consciousness within each and every one of us, which is going to come forth. We're going to be, you know, birthing a lot more spirituality because people realize, hey, you know, I have this material thing, I have this, and nothing is fulfilling me. And they're starting to feel hopeless because the dream of the programming that this life of the American life was going to make us happy, which didn't work out, you guys. It didn't work out.
Really?
By the way.
So we're not all happy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, what do we actually want? We actually want spiritual connection.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I used to always say, all we want is the same thing, to love and to be loved. But it's our definition, as we've just learned in earlier conversation, that definition of love has been distorted or almost demented, if you like.
Yeah.
So coming back to what true love is and the truth of those phrases and words, the language, So interesting. You know, I just want to find out, you talk about Christ. What about for the viewers who don't believe in Christ or they believe in another kind of a God?
Sure.
With your spiritual teachings, you don't necessarily have to be following
a
God as such.
I'm not religious. And when I say Christ, I don't mean Jesus the man. I mean the consciousness that is the cosmic consciousness. So you could say the Buddhist consciousness. You could say pure consciousness. You can say whatever. I think there's truth in all religions. There's truth in philosophy. There's truth in science. And we're all just coming back to the oneness of the purest, purest consciousness.
Yeah.
I actually feel like we should no longer say our highest self.
Okay.
We should actually say our purest self.
Beautiful.
Because at core of every single cell of our body is a Taurus field.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a star and there is a black hole in every single aspect of our body. Mm-hmm. We are an energetic being, and we can even just through prana work and breath work, we can rev it up and we can, you know, feel more high than any drug, any psychedelic, anything. And that's the power that we have in us. And I think it's going to be an exciting time because we're starting to bring back some of the ancient wisdoms that are able to have us really actually experience bliss.
Everyone's so interested in this now.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get interested in this subject?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of it comes through suffering, as you know. And for me, when I had a full-term stillborn at 22, I got really interested in just relief at some level of the pure, pure suffering.
Mm.
And then as you go along, you start realizing, wow, there's actually, you know, like before Wim Hof, there was thousands of years of breath work, right? Before the doctor, Joe Dispenza, there was, you know, understanding how the source is within and bless them. And I'm really grateful for their work. However, the real lineage is there's very specific lineage that has had the truth the entire time. It has the truth. And really, we call it the secret wisdom because you have to seek it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the true masters are not necessarily having millions of followers online. They're actually doing the work.
Yeah.
And they have to be found. They're not going to be out there looking to get validation. They are masters and there's lineage. And so people have to just seek and they'll find.
Wow. That's got goosebumps again. Can you see every time I'm getting goosebumps? I feel like as the psychic being that I know that I am, when people speak truth, my right side just goes, nice. Do you have something like that?
Yeah.
What do you get?
Goosebumps. And the reason why is because it's a confirmation of truth. And truth heals and truth will make you actually have a full communication with the universe.
Mm.
So, it's always a confirmation through goosebumps and also through like a big surge of energy that comes through.
Yeah. I wonder why it's that your hairs stand up on end.
Because it's full communication.
Wow. And it's energy.
It's a confirmation.
It's energy communicating.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is. All of your telomeres, all of your mitochondria, everything is communicating with the universe. So when it is like, it's like if I speak to you, it's like you're now speaking to the truth. And if you're at a discordance, it's going to be discordant. So it's going to stop the communication. If it's not truth, it'll stop. You should be in those majority of the time.
Yeah,
right?
True.
So if you're in full breath work and full whatever, then you feel like you're literally buzzing. We can purr like cats inside. People don't even know that.
Wow.
Because they have not experienced how to actually have their body communicate with the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in doing this work, what do you notice that it does for people besides obviously healing collective on that greater level?
Sure. Well, you know, trauma-informed work is super interesting because I had a lot of trauma growing up. So things like you can't complete cycles, you get into arguments with people all the time, you can't, everything's difficult when you've had a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
Everything's difficult. Your sleeping patterns suck. You know, you can't eat what you know you're supposed to eat. You can't follow through with working out. You can't. And so the opposite occurs when you do the work, right? All of a sudden you're just at more peace with yourself.
Yeah.
Your relationships are getting better. You're not getting as triggered. You're able to, you know, have your job, you get the promotion, right? Whatever happens. Your relationship doesn't have as much dysfunction, you know, the addictions start to go away, you know, all those things.
So all of the things can happen depending on what's going on in your life when you release the trauma. And do you say that you make peace with it? Because when you talked about your unfortunate situation, you know, it was so beautiful to witness that even I get nervous for you. Do you know what I mean? That you're, I guess, in a peace state about it. that you know you don't get choked up or want to release tears. Are there still times where that happens, or are you just so at peace with the trauma that you turned into the triumph?
It's a good question. I don't know if we ever fully, like, trauma doesn't necessarily go away fully. Right. I think it's one of the lies of doing trauma work.
Interesting.
What happens in trauma work is you have a full revelation of the perfection of it.
Whoa, say that again. You're having a revelation of the perfection of the trauma or the perfection
of the trauma?
Why was it perfect? Why was it perfect?
Well, because it's all a blessing. So, for example, having a full term stillborn at the age of 22
is a blessing.
Seems like the most horrific thing ever to be sitting, you know, with your child dead, you know, in front of you in a mortician's house. But when you actually have revelation and complete the cycle around it, you realize this was the greatest blessing of my life.
Goosebumps.
Because you're being given the gift to realize that we're not these bodies, we're spiritual beings. So it's just all perspective.
Wow.
You know, so it's not like the trauma goes away and I guess I could make the story again in the meaning that here I am alone and everything I love goes away. Or I can actually just be with it and know the blessing of it. So I think it's more that you're at cause over, I could energize something, get sad. I could dramatize a story. You know, I mastered misery. I'm really good at that.
Well, you're a good storyteller, so it would be easy too.
But when you do your full, to answer your question, I think it's a good question.
Yes.
The goal is this. Can we look at the wars right now going on and not become triggered or become the victim or blame anybody, but rather can we look at it and go, what can I actually do about the war? How can I be proactive and make a difference? And so it's not like we're going to look at it and be like, I have no sadness. It's that I can look at it and become the creator of what I want to create out of that.
Right.
Instead of being, oh my God, this is so hard and it's so awful and they this and they that. There's no power in that. That's the difference.
Because we go into victim mode, which doesn't move us to act.
Yeah.
And so to act means to create, and we can only create when we are in full service and not triggered, is what
And when
saying.
We realize we're the creator of our limitations as well as all the good things. So that's the blessing of trauma, is when you realize trauma is not what happens to you, trauma is what happens within you.
Within.
Yeah. And so trauma, the trauma incident happened. The trauma is what happens. It's a tear in the soul. It's a wound in the soul. And that only happens by your own decisions that you decided during that traumatic incident. So the revelation and the enlightenment of the trauma healing is that when you realize I made my own limited beliefs and that hurt my own and took away my own powers. And in that moment, I realize I can also, that same consciousness can create me as the powerful being that I am. So that's the beauty of doing trauma work, is hopefully you're having a revelation around it. And that's what sets you free.
Yeah. And also the freedom of knowing that the only truth really is that now. That Right?
It's all now.
Because whatever happened. We don't know what's going to also happen in the future, but right now and constantly making those right now decisions, right?
And that's why we call it quantum healing, because you're not just healing what happened in this lifetime, all past lifetimes trauma are playing out in your life right now. So when we heal a trauma, it's not just this trauma. We want to track back even into past lives, because all of that is impacting us. Everything is impacting us.
So if we were going to start with Dr. Erin's work, would we start with healing trauma first and doing the E4 trauma method and then going into manifestation?
Yeah. So what we do is, because we flip the same thing in the E4 trauma and we time compress and quantum manifest. So what we want to do is, I always think of it like a big vat. If you had a big vat of water that had a bunch of dirt and gunk in it, that's like your soul. Okay, imagine your soul. And so what we want to do is we want to first kind of scoop off the big stuff, and that's the trauma work. And then what we want to do is we want to refine it through having a powerful spiritual practice. And then once the water's clear, we can actually, then we can like light it up with the quantum manifesting and really like energize it. And now we have this incredible water that is like the most pure, crystallized, you know.
So we scrape the gunk off first
before
we can energize it. Makes sense.
Most people try and do the opposite. They try and manifest, and they're like trying to manifest through all this gunk, and they're like, why am I having so much? Why am I not manifesting?
Well, can I tell you, I totally relate to that because in Australia, I had this chiropractor. I was diagnosed with PTSD about 6 years ago, and I don't like diagnosis. No. It means you and I both still don't know. But you have to break down the language.
Yeah.
But because You know, sometimes though it can be useful because it gave me permission to stop and do the work because I'm such a doer. But I was having this chiropractic adjustment because I was in fetal position. I went into fight or flight and I was, you know, I can't believe, I was the mortification. I can't believe this is happening. How would, why me?
All There's
this.
Your command,
yeah,
by
right?
the way.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened during a traumatic incident and you have a command that's playing out rote in your life.
Right.
Yes.
So, but like I can happily say that I spent a good 2 years on pretty much doing nothing and doing a lot of different healing modalities.
Yeah, great.
With this chiropractor, and then it was the pandemic, so Melbourne was locked down and we were trapped, basically, like literally. I was trying to be free in my soul and not be trapped, but he was putting his hands on me, bless him, Dr. Damien Christoph, and he was saying, he took his hands off after the adjustment, he goes, you know what, Andy? He said, I can keep adjusting you and I feel like we can keep putting clean water in that dirty fish tank with each adjustment. Or I can just take the fish out of the dirty water and go and put her in a new environment. Mm. And that resonated with me, that story, because I needed to be in a different environment, which is why I went to Sydney and then here I am in Los Angeles, right? Mm-hmm. But I couldn't stay vortexed within this environment that reminded me of all the drama and everything. I needed to go and do something else.
Yeah, Bruce Lipton is a really big one at understanding that we are not the effect of our genes, that we have control over our genes. And one of the things is because we know that our genes are impacted by our environment, but the thing is that we can choose to put ourselves in a new environment. So pattern interrupts are very important, especially for people that are dealing with addiction and things like that. It's important to put yourself in a new environment so that you can start something new.
So you call them pattern interrupts.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you're very qualified at this. What kind of, you know, you need to go to university to get this doctorate or so. Tell me about what it takes.
So for years, I just was studying a bunch of stuff and I stumbled upon what's called metaphysics and universal law. And I became a spiritual practitioner. So practitioners are generally, it's a couple year program.
Right.
And then I became a metaphysical minister, which is a couple year program.
Yep.
And then you can become a doctor of divinity. So it depends on how long you do it, whatever. And you've got a birth, something. So birth E4 method and a book when I was doing that. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So many different ways to be able to connect with you. Is there anywhere else that we can learn where to find you?
Yeah. I mean, I have a podcast also, Dr. Erin Podcast. And then I have a free great gift called The Manifesting Challenge that people can take. That's 52 universal law lessons and kind of has you understand how you're one with the universe and stuff like that.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful to learn.
Thank you for having me.
To learn from you, and you have so much to teach us. So thank you so much for being on Well To Do. And that was episode 17.
Amazing. And so it is.
And so it is.
Thanks, you guys.